Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
Hi, I'm looking for Shane McKay.
What can I do for you? I'm Shane McKay.
What up, folks? It's Narbos and Broomheads, and we are starting season 3 of Degrassi the Next Generation. Can you believe it? This is, I can't believe it. When we started this journey back in Degrassi Junior High, OG style, I never thought we'd make it this far, but here we are, 16 months later, still in a pandemic, but maybe with an end in sight. But anyways, we're here to keep you company as we talk about Emma's journey to Deauville and to find a nice surprise there. And a surprise for all of us, I think. Anyways, we'll get into it. I'm your host for the evening. My name is Alan on Twitter, Facebook. Well, not on Facebook. Yeah, you know what? I bet you if you search for Slip on Facebook, you'll find me. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Slip with Five Eyes or Slip. And nice. You can follow us on Twitter @NarbosPodcast. And I'm going to talk about the email in a sec because we got a few emails this week. But before I do that, let's head over to Ottawa. And who have we got with us tonight?
Well, hello, hello. It is I, your favorite Ottawanian? Ottawatonian? Ottawan? I don't know.
That's a great group,
Ottawan. They are. Ottawan. Hands up. Baby, hands up. What's up? Give me your heart. Yes. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. Secrets out. Yeah, I'm up in O-Town. It's beautiful up here and nothing exciting going on. We just reopened. I guess the whole province just reopened. So there's fucking a 10-hour line at HomeSense right now because I live in a fucking suburb and it's ridiculous.
Actually, there was some woman on Twitter who, so, like, over and over and over again, when somebody would be like, oh, Ottawa's reopening, she'd be like, you should mention that the Porcupine region is not reopening. And she replied to, like, every news story, like, to, like, 100 people today.
Why?
I don't know. It's important that you know that the Porcupine region is not reopening. Your story is inaccurate. Well, what about the Porcupine region?
Yeah. And most people are probably like, what? There's some place called Porcupine?
It's like Timmins and North is not opening. So
my dad's from there. South Porcupine?
Sure. Well, it's not opening, so.
Anyways, yes. Note to all our listeners. Important info.
I don't want her to retweet this episode and be like, or to reply to us and be like, actually, your podcast was wrong.
No. You failed to mention Porcupine region. It's a Delta hotspot.
Yeah.
In any case, we are not a Delta hotspot. We are just hot. And I have rejected invitations to sit on patios tonight because this fucking podcast.
Aren't you popular?
Nice. Just kidding. Nobody invited me anywhere.
Me too. So many invites.
If you do want to invite me somewhere, go find me on Instagram, courtney.1293, and check out our very successful podcast account at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast, where we have reached 200 listeners or followers.
Yes.
Big deal.
Me and Jamie, our guest, who I'm going to introduce in a second, have a podcast called The Mezzanine Sleepover, and I don't think we ever hit 100 followers on Twitter. So.
Never.
So there you go.
Never.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys can do it. You just have to record some more.
We did that podcast for like 5 years.
Okay, never mind. Yeah.
What's that, 160 episodes or something?
Yeah, yeah. And never got to 100.
Our poor third co-host that we added and immediately stopped recording.
Yeah, yeah. So it was great.
Who was it?
Stu, our pal from Toronto. Yeah. We made him an official co-host and then did two episodes and then stopped. Anyways.
It's kind of the opposite of what happened to us. Like when our show started really taking off, James bailed on us.
Yes, he did. Damn it, James.
Oh, no.
Well, just kidding. He was said he had school. Whatever. Yeah. Love you, James.
No
excuse. Anyways, that's it for me. Nothing else going on here. Let's chuck it on over to Saski.
Hi, everybody. It's Arlo from Regina, Saskatchewan. You can follow me on Instagram at ArloeScott. And yes, when I type in Slip with Five Eyes on Facebook, it does find you, Alan.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's because we're already Facebook friends, though.
Oh, no.
I did check it, though.
If you're not my Facebook friend, go and find... Don't find me. It's okay.
So has your mom ever asked you what slip means? It's my big question.
I think she might have, and I probably lied.
You worked her.
Like, it's something we used to say. Me and the guys used to say it. It doesn't mean anything.
It's a wrestling move, Mom.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
I give him the big slip. Pinfall. Yes. So our guest is in Winnipeg, still, I believe, the COVID hotspot of North America. But don't worry, he's safe in his car in a parking lot, so don't get too worried. But Jamie, also known as Megamix.com, has joined us again. What's going on?
Not much. Thanks for having me again. It is not beautiful in Winnipeg, but it really never is. So, you know, in terms of looks, anyway. No, it's quite windy out, so had the power go out today, which was a little for a little bit. It's the high winds going
did you get
on.
Storms at all?
No, no, not today.
Okay, we got like torrential rains last night. I was wondering how far.
Yeah,
it was
no. Like other parts of Manitoba did this week, and there was some flooding, but it's been pretty safe here. Not much is going on. You know, doing nothing. Nothing's reopening. Though tomorrow I can have 5 people in my backyard, so that'll be nice.
Well done. And I heard that, and this one, again, only Winnipeggers will understand, but I heard they're going to rename Bishop Grandin Boulevard.
Yeah, well, probably about time.
Yep. So it's like a big major street in our neck of the woods in Winnipeg.
It is. I'm like, a kilometer away from there right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so probably I think you're going to see a lot of street names changing in this city over the next little while. And people are mad, and that's ridiculous.
Also in Manitoba today, Maxime Bernier went on his little douchebag tour and got arrested.
He did. So you make fun of Manitoba, but I got to say, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
To see that go on. That was pretty awesome. And I don't even know how. I didn't even see how many people were at the rally he was at. But
like 10.
It was like 15 or something
It's getting really bad. Like, at what point do we just start ignoring it? Because even 100 people, it's like, why are we even reporting on this?
It's true.
Thousands of people get vaccinated every day, they're like, oh, there's 100 people gathered to protest masks.
So for our listeners who don't know who Maxime Bernier is, he's a... I mean, I'll use the term lightly, like a political party leader.
Yeah.
Well, he was almost the leader of the Conservative Party.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He lost the vote by 2% in 2007. A whole bunch of conservatives wanted him to lead that party, a major party in Canada. So let's not forget that. But anyways.
So then he lost and basically threw a hissy fit and started his own party, which is the People's Party of Canada, which is... Yeah.
Which I think
utter bullshit.
Yeah, Yeah.
Rob Ford's widow is an MP for his party, I believe. Mm. Roberta.
Great minds think alike.
Oh, she's a psycho, right? Too. Like, she seriously. Is a psycho. That's great. Just for our American listeners, I mean, I know that even in America, these things are a tad radical, but in Canada, they're like super radical. Like being an anti-masker, an anti-vaxxer, an anti-lockdown person is like a very rare position to have in Canada. So,
yes.
And that's
Well, at least in urban in cities.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Southern
Outside
Manitoba.
Outside cities, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more prevalent.
So our email for this podcast is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. I've got a little backlog of emails. I'm going to read a few now and read some on the next episode. This one we received actually last week. I missed it. It's from Ted Power.
Ted Power?
Yes, he says, please give me a shout out on the show. I'm a big fan. That, of course, would be Ted, who wrote that email while he was on the podcast. So... also our old pal, Shane Alberani, who is the play-by-play person for your Fort Wayne Comets with a K, said, hope you and the whole gang is doing well. Just came home from a 10-day, 5-airport, 2-bus ride, and 5,000-mile road trip that gave me time to re-listen to some of the Degrassi High episodes again. I enjoyed them as much as I did the first time. I hope someday I can get the crew down to Fort Wayne for a game.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. And they.
I'm so in for that.
Thanks for that, Shane.
Yes, and unlike Courtney's Toronto Maple Leafs and my Winnipeg Jets, their team is still in the playoffs. So.
Yes. Go Comets. Can I stream those games anywhere, Shane? I need some hockey to watch. Apparently.
Yeah. So there you go. I'll read more next week. Stay tuned, everyone.
I can't wait.
I know. So, father figure. This is the start of season 3 of Degrassi, The Next Generation. Now, obviously, you've heard plenty from most of us about this show, but Jamie, I know you weren't as active a watcher of this show. Like, what was your experience with this show prior to... yeah.
So, what? When did... 2001 was when it... came back on when it came on the air, right? Or 2000, yeah. Something like that.
2001.
I probably watched the first one and then never watched it again. So I came into this nice and cold, and I mean, honestly, it was pretty easy to pick up on what was going on. But you know, I scanned through the Wiki a little bit just to get hip to some of the storylines. But yeah, I can't. Like I said, I did not come with a years of watching. So, yeah, it was nice to see all the familiar faces anyway. I'll give it that.
Some familiar faces who we didn't see last season at a wedding, by the way, but we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear. You texted me that, so
yeah.
I can't wait to hear more.
So this is the first of a 2-part episode, the premiere of season 3. It's called Father Figure. It is named after a George Michael song. I believe it was the 4th single released from Faith and hit number 1 because Faith was a massive album for George Michael. And in fact, if you want to go hear me and Jamie talk about it in detail, go to Spotify and look up Albums Are Dead because those podcasts are still out there.
Nice.
Oh, I forgot you guys did that podcast.
We did.
Like 15 episodes.
No, we did like 38 of them or something.
Did we?
Yeah, we did a lot.
That's a lot of content for you. Your ass.
Yeah, so we did talk about George Michael in detail, but yes, Father Figure, one of the tracks, and that will be, of course, the title of this and the next episode. This came out in Canada on September 17th, 2003. You only had to wait 3 weeks in the U.S. to get it on October 3rd, 2003. And we've got the Degrassi, The Next Generation Dream Team. A.A. Ron Martin wrote the story. Woo! Jan Moore steps in and decides to do some writing again, and the teleplay by James Hurst and directed by Bruce McDonald, not of Kids in the Hall.
Not that Bruce McDonald.
Well, it's Bruce McDonald. It's Bruce McCullough.
Yep.
Kids in the Hall. And along with Kevin McDonald.
Yep.
So
we like getting it wrong.
Though I wonder if Bruce McCullough ever directed an episode of Degrassi. He might have. Who knows?
It would be all quirky. With little jingles.
Norm McDonald.
With who?
Bruce McDonald is Norm McDonald's nephew.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Well, there's not many McDonald's out there, so you might be right.
Maybe he's Ronald McDonald's nephew. All right. Anyways, I know.
Maybe
good
he's
one.
Old McDonald's nephew.
Yes.
Prove me wrong, people. Prove me wrong.
So we start off. We've got Emma, of course, daughter of Spike and stepdaughter of Snake, reading a book outside of the house. I guess it's still the end of the summer. And she hears...
The book that she's reading is of consequence. It's called Not Wanted on the Voyage.
Oh, well.
So, yes. A directorial choice which foreshadows Emma's mental state, perhaps.
And it's also by renowned Canadian author Timothy Finley, who I, for some reason, was obsessed with in high school.
Really?
Yeah. He is an older Canadian author who wrote, I think his most famous book was The Wars. And I don't know if we read it in high school or for some reason I read it. But anyways, he's a really well-known author, and I happen to be obsessed with him. And I have that book that Emma is reading.
Oh,
is it good?
It's pretty good.
Good.
Well, it gets interrupted because Spike is yelling, "It's time, everyone!" And Snake is also in a room in the house that he's renovating for the baby. So then they play like the knockoff Lion King music because I guess a child's about to be born. So it's like, "Hey, yeah, 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 yeah."
What?
That's the music that they played.
It was an odd choice.
Yes. So Snake immediately is like, we need to call Liz, who was not at Spike's wedding, is now just around and is going to come over right away to help with this home birth. And Emma,
she's a midwife.
Yeah, she's a midwife. Which
that fits so perfect for the plot.
It's just, yeah, how convenient.
Her old friend from high school is a midwife. Not great.
I think it's believable. I can see Liz being a midwife.
Emma brings in a mattress and Snake falls over it because we have to have hijinks.
I am wondering if I can just, I just thought of this. Didn't she do something different in the, because I did see the first episode of this series and I believe she was doing a different job when she was on that episode.
What did she say?
Wasn't she on the first episode and...
She did a remember, and we reviewed in the episode where they did like the extras on the DVD, and she said what she did, but I forget what she said.
Well, maybe I saw that then. All right.
My
maybe,
mind is
matter.
Saying that it was physiotherapy, but that could be what she does in real life.
Maybe it's not canon then.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? I was just trying to be smart and you know, like, contribute.
So Spike stops everybody from running around and says it was just a drill, which annoys Emma. And Spike says, well, home deliveries are a big deal. And Emma says, sorry for getting in the way of your perfect delivery. And we're already off to the races with her.
So home birth is a big deal. I had one, but I did not have those fucking alarm things. And if I was Emma, I would be annoyed too.
So we get the show open with the new music, kicking it up a notch.
It's terrible.
The old one was even worse. Music. It was like a little children's choir.
Yeah.
You know. So we have the new song, and also we finally give credits to Andrea Lewis and Adamo Ruggiero, who were featured in the second season and ignored in the credits. So that's good that they finally get them. So Emma,
I also noticed that we get some little hints of some featured characters this time in the opening credits, like just sort of tucked in behind Emma in the opening credits is Chris, who we haven't met yet but we will, and then tucked behind Terry on the sports team is Kendra, and then tucked behind JT in the stands is Nadia the wolf girl.
Yes. Nadia's the best. Jamie, for if you don't know, Nadia once first prize in the grade 7 science fair because she liked wolves. She's
nice.
Like, what was she saying? The wolf is our friend.
Yeah, it's about wolves being our friend.
Yeah, so
but they're not. They're wild animals who will hunt you down.
No, she loves wolves. So since then, we've basically done what we would have done if we were in grade 7 with her, and for the rest of her life, we'll call her the wolf girl.
Yep.
100%. I still call people in my high school by the nicknames we gave them back then.
Oh, we would too. For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Though I gotta say, there's nothing worse than those two still calling themselves Snake and Spike. I'm fucking sorry. I can't stand it. I just can't stand it.
Well, when you told me in our text earlier today, and then I told you they even wrote it on their wedding invitations.
It's terrible. Like, it's one thing for someone, like, for you to call somebody by their nickname, and they probably roll their eyes and be like, you know, these people actively call themselves and each other by their stupid high school nicknames. Terrible.
Also, do you want to provide a comment as we roll into Degrassi? I believe you wanted to say something about former students coming back as teachers.
Well, we were talking over text because I watched it, and once I thought so I live in the same area that I grew up in. I moved away and then I moved back to South Winnipeg in St. Patel. And, you know, my son is in a French immersion school like we were. Not the same school I went to, but one of the schools in the area. And will eventually end up in the high school that Alan and I went to. And there's a lot of parallels because I see a lot of these motherfuckers who, you know, go back to teach at their old school. We have multiple people that we went to high school with in one of our two grades who have gone back and teach there. There's still an old teacher from when we were there at the high school. And one of our people that you graduated with, Alan, is the vice principal.
Yeah.
So it's like life imitating art, and it's all just like super lame.
I'm looking forward to the day where your son has one teacher in particular, and then I can tell him I went to second base with her. When we were in high school, so
yes,
just saying.
Well, the vice principal at the high school is going to be the principal at my son's elementary school next year, and he's I have nothing against him, but he was a total jock, and we called him Jockstrap. So, you know, what's up, Jockstrap?
He'd totally be the type of principal.
Principal Jockstrap to you.
Principal Jockstrap. Yes,
that's right. To start this episode, Emma has moved into the basement, and it's still kind of a mess down there, but that's where she's going to be staying now. And Spike tells her she needs to be ready for the first day of school. And also, there's a baby shower, and for some reason, Joey is hosting it? Why would Joey host the baby shower? Joey doesn't live at this point with any ladies. And I mean, I know you could have mixed genders at a baby shower, but Joey's not hosting any fucking baby showers. Come on.
Maybe
that seemed weird to me.
Caitlin was hosting the baby shower, but she didn't have a place to host it. So she asked Joey if she could have it at his place.
And of course, Joey was like, well, I cheated on you for a whole summer, so it's the least I can do.
No, that's what Caitlin throws in his face every time she wants something.
Yeah, yeah.
I host this baby shower here. Remember, you fucked Tessa? It's like, okay.
Fine.
Yes.
So at school, we've got Craig running around taking photos. He takes one of Paige and Spinner, who I guess are now officially dating. When we last saw these two, they had gone to the dance together, and Paige was a pain in the ass, and it sucked, but now they're dating. To the point where Spinner calls her Honeybee, and I hate it.
As does everybody.
That seems like the worst couple I've ever seen.
It does seem like over the 2 months of summer, they have spent quite a bit of time together and are now very friendly with each other.
Ellie is as disgusted as I am. Emma and Sean are walking to school, and Sean looks gangster AF. Like, in previous episodes, you know, he'd wear, like, jeans and t-shirts. Now he's got the fucking hoodie and bandana and, like, the big
There's
ass.
This little cable knit turtleneck with jean jacket.
Oh.
Boy band situation.
No, now he's fucking going to put out a rap album.
Yes.
Emma's annoyed about being in the basement. Sean's like, suck it up. I'm sure after a whole fucking summer with her, he's done. Like, he has to be.
I think, doesn't she say she's being treated like a second-class citizen or something?
Come on. Jesus.
I mean her basement, it does look like she's living in a shack, and it's pretty funny.
It leaks, right? she was getting water on her head. Like, I feel like maybe Spike and Snake could have done a better job fixing it up so that she didn't feel like she was like Harry Potter in the fucking cupboard under the stick.
I mean, I know somebody who had a basement bedroom with no windows.
Yep. That's me. That was heck of dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't know why my parents they built me a bedroom in the basement, not a window to be seen. It took me being like, I need a futon out in the main room because I need to have a window. And they're like, oh, okay.
Oh, window.
But for years,
what's
no
next?
Window at all. It was, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
The leaky basement's a problem. I immediately, as a, you know, homeowner, cringe because it's like, yeah, you got bigger problems now. That's not just like, you know, that's not just a problem for, that's a house-wide problem.
And it's coming from above, too.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's an issue. Like, where is that coming from?
I can get a little bit after a storm. Maybe your weeping tiles are a little full. No. It's coming from upstairs. Nice day. Yeah, you got a problem.
So Hazel is excited about possibly having Armstrong as her homeroom teacher, but Paige confirms to everybody that they have Simpson. That would be Snake. And Spinner says it could be worse. He sees Miss Kwan and calls her the pain of his existence. So she corrects him because he's getting it wrong. And that would make sense because apparently he needs to take grade 9 English again, which... If you remember the previous season, at the end of the season, Spinner was, I thought he was excited about doing well on exams. Or was that the season before? Like, there was no hint that this guy was going to have to repeat a course. But here we are.
I find that teacher to be quite nasty.
She's pretty...
In front of everybody. To the student who has to repeat a grade. It just seems a little, I don't know.
It seems a little ratted. That's exactly what I thought. She points out in front of everybody who can hear her that he has to repeat English.
It's just a class, though, this time, right? Like, this is kind of a change. We sort of see, like, how the school system has sort of evolved here, where there, you know, there's more grades in the school or whatnot. So you don't, like, fail the grade necessarily. You just, like, fail the class and have to take it over again.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, and I was trying to remember, is that how it was in high school? Like, if you failed one class, you still went to the next grade. Okay. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, you just have to take it again. Like, everybody else goes on to, like, grade 11 science, and you just have to take grade 10 science again, and then you have to make sure that you get all the prerequisites before graduating or whatever.
Well, I wouldn't know because I didn't fail a class until I got to university. So.
Oh.
There you go. Yes.
When it costs money. Good job.
Yeah, then you just fail, and then you give up on the subject matter altogether and change majors. So...
Yeah.
So he Spinner tells everybody to go ahead and laugh at him, and Paige says no one is laughing at him, but somebody is laughing at him. It's Drake.
God damn it.
He's like, now the backstory here that we are trying to sort out is late in the second season, Drake was being a dick to Spinner about because Drake's parents are rich and Spinner is poor. And then Drake left his MP3 player behind, which is what they called it, even though it was an iPod, but they couldn't use that term. So Spinner went to try to sell it and Drake caught him. And there was apparently a conflict, but then we got to the end of the second season and it seemed like they had made amends, but I guess they haven't. Right?
Yeah, I was wondering.
I mean, they were
kind
of competing against each other last episode. Sort of just at the luau thing. But yeah, towards the end of that episode, it seemed like everybody kind of was resigned to making up. I don't know.
Well, guess not. So then Paige tells Spinner that failing English is no biggie, failing gym and they really need to talk. And I thought, I'd think the opposite. Like,
do you?
Well... What are your job prospects? What are your job prospects if you can't, you know, play dodgeball? Like, seriously, you need English. Just saying. Of course, it's some.
You failed gym, Alan.
I never failed gym. Okay. Ruled at gym.
Yeah, floor hockey.
Yeah.
the mask.
Oh yeah, we heard about that.
I'm sure you did. Oh, the greatest thing to ever happen in his life to win intramural floor hockey.
Hey. So Miss Hatzilakos is handing out locks to the class, and Toby is asking why JT or who JT will be going after this year. So JT's big thing is, you know, going after the older ladies, though he's never kind of snagged
one. What a coo sound this kid is.
Yeah, but of course, when they talk about who he's going to go after, they talk about teachers. Like, they're not like students. They're like, who are you going to pork this year? He's like, I don't know, this teacher, this teacher.
Like, kid with a fucking perma boner.
Yeah. So then Miss H calls upon Chris, who is a new student, and we will see more of Chris over the course of the season. Then she calls Emma Simpson, and Emma corrects her and says, it's Emma Nelson. And then she pitches a fit and concludes her fit by saying, hello, feminism? Ugh.
That line's pretty bad, but I feel for her, man. That would suck.
So Paige goes...
I feel for Miss Hatzilaka. She's just like, yo, like, it's just a typo. Relax.
This was not my decision. Like, someone handed me this list. I'd be like, I don't give a fuck what you call yourself. Like, just shut up. So we have Paige going to her locker. And so for some reason now, there's a new wing of Degrassi that we haven't seen before. And it's just like fucking terrible. The hallway's a mess. The lockers are dingy. Like, I don't think that that really happens.
Yeah. It's apocalyptic.
Yeah, like there's not like a wing like, of the
first
school.
Day of school, it's all so dirty.
Like, there might be schools where you have like an old section and then they built a new one and that might be a little more desirable, but you don't have like one section that's hideous, I don't think. But I don't know. We went to a pretty small school, so maybe people who
this
went...
This whole plot point, like, it really makes no sense to me at all. Like, I don't recall giving a fucking shit where my locker was. Like, I don't recall anyone giving a shit where their locker was.
Well, Paige has a, you know, has a hissy fit over this, and this is going to take up real estate for 2 episodes. So, so basically, she wants to trade lockers, and because she hates her locker, and Spinner gets the idea that, you know, maybe he can make it happen for her, and he tries to get Hazel to just make the trade, and Hazel's like, "Fuck off." So,
well, we know that Spinner doesn't have a lot of money. So I think he gets it in his head that this is something that she wants that he can give her. Probably like all the other things that she wants that he cannot give her.
For their 4-month anniversary, which I guess is a thing.
He also must be failing concepts of personal space. Because Jesus, draping his arms around people, getting all right up in their grills, terrible.
In the resource center, we see Ashley sitting on Craig's lap. So they had gone to the dance together at the end of the second season. So I guess they have become a couple over the course of the summer. And Emma is in there as well. And she is looking at an old yearbook from the 80s, as she calls it.
Of course.
They look at it together. And the first picture they see is Joey with hair. And that photo was never taken in Degrassi Junior
totally
High.
Totally exactly what I thought.
Looks like he's 25 years old.
Why didn't they just use a promo picture from Degrassi Junior High or something? Like, what?
I know. Like they did when they pan over to a picture of Spike, who I think that is an actual photo from back then.
Yeah. That makes no sense. It's so fucking weird. Also, I just have to say this, as we're about to jump into this plot line, we don't really establish, like, Emma's going to get obsessed with who her dad is and blah, 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 blah. There's not really anything that's happened that kind of piques his curiosity in her. Yeah, she's just all of a sudden like, who's my dad? This is important. So,
this plot comes out of nowhere, really?
Yeah.
I guess maybe she's feeling left out of the family, so she's kind of thinking about, oh, I wonder what it would be like with another family or something. I don't know.
So she, in the second season, there were 3 episodes devoted to Emma having issues with the situation with her mom and Snake, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And like, she's totally like, oh yeah, I hate this. Then they have a talk and she's like, I'm cool with it. Then the next episode, she's like, psych. Yes. I'm not happy again. So this is like the fourth time, I think, where she's got a problem. So it's like, if you're those two parents, you got to be like, okay, like, she clearly has a problem. Like, this is not going to get fixed by just talking it over. We need to get her some help. But
And just from the, like, from the writer's perspective, like, there was a number of opportunities just to, like, lay a little bit of groundwork, you know, when she was having her tantrums about Spike remarrying. Like, she, even a line or something, like, some mentioning that she has another dad. Like, oh, you're going to marry someone without telling me who my real dad is or something. But they just, I don't know, they just failed to do that.
I think the catalyst for her in this episode is supposed to be that they changed her name to make it seem like she was Snake's daughter instead. And that at the school, which was obviously just a mistake, but she is psychotic about it, so she didn't take it as a mistake. And then also when Snake calls her his daughter, and that like sets her off, and I think that's, those two events are supposed to be feeding her obsession about it.
So we got the first two photos out of the way. Now we go to the third photo. We see Shane McKay, except it's not Shane McKay, it's Jono.
It's ridiculous.
It's not Billy Parrott who played Shane McKay. It's now Jonathan Torrance, who, Arlo, would you like to tell our American listeners?
I feel like every person thought that this was an interesting choice for casting, right? Like,
yeah.
He's known in Canada, if our listeners don't know who this person is, like, he's more known as, like, a comedic guy. He does sort of hosting and comedy, and like, he was on this kids show called Street Sense, and then he had his own show called Jono Vision, which was like a comedy hosting gig kind of thing, and he's done lots of hosting
for CBC.
He's like, he's like guested on like This Hour Is 22 Minutes, Royal Canadian Air Farce, like Trailer Park Boys, like just sort of those, like all of those comedy shows in Canada. So to cast him as sort of this dramatic role was a really strange choice for a lot of people, I think.
So he hosted something, like he hosted a show, an episode of Jono Vision with like a Degrassi reunion, didn't he?
Yes.
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 And that kind of prompted them to do this show, right? Or one of the things.
That's probably how they got the idea to use him.
I'm wondering if it's like, here you go, thanks for getting us all together again. Be on our show.
It very well could have. I mean, I'm assuming that he was a big fan too. So, and he worked for the CBC. So, I guess this is a CTV show. But, anyways, they made it happen. I mean, at the time, I was like, "Oh, that's interesting, fucking Jono." But now looking back, it's like that's an interesting choice. So,
I mean, the other dude is still around. I don't know why they didn't get him to play him again. Maybe he didn't want it. Maybe he didn't want to pretend to be disabled.
Which I would
understand, because that kind of sucked about this whole thing.
I think we've talked about this at least once before. And there's a number of different theories about why Billy Parrott turned down the role. But when Joey and Snake were doing this university tour at a Q&A, they came to Carlton and I asked him that question. And they said something, like he was asked to reprise the role, but he turned it down. And I think it had to do with the fact that, the way that they had made his character.
Yeah. I
tried to find information about why he didn't come back, and I couldn't, like, I like scoured and I couldn't find. The only thing I could find is that Billy Parrott was, quote, not available to do it.
My favorite part about the whole story is how Courtney went to see Joey and Snake.
Heck yeah. It was so great.
Not Q&A. Pat Mastrioni and Stefan Brokren. No. Joey and Snake showed up. They're like, we were in a band together. Our friend killed a kid. It's crazy.
They took pictures. I have a picture with them on my Facebook.
So Craig asks who he is, and Emma says he's an ex-boyfriend, so they can drop it. And it's like, you should probably clarify who's ex-boyfriend when you say that. Craig says that he'll just have to ask Mr. Simpson. So Craig's being a dick and being like, I'll just ask your fucking dad. So,
like, such a dick.
Yeah. So she says, well, he got her mom pregnant and then took off. So Ashley puts two and two together and she's like, is your dad? So...
Can I just say that Ashley's hair is working a lot better for her this season?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I'm feeling it this season.
So then Emma says that she met him once when she was three. So we're going to go through this sequence where Emma thinks that he's a doctor and she met him when she was three. When she was three, he would have been 16.
Yes.
So that's a little interesting, but anyways. Of course, what happened, child Emma, of course, mistakes the doctor who's taking care of her dad, but still, he's 16. Like, come on, Emma. Like, do some math, right?
You're supposed to be smart.
Yeah.
Come on.
So, anyways, Ashley asks if his dad's around at all, and Emma confirms never. We go back to Snake. He is painting the baby's room, and he is singing. What song is he singing?
What is he singing?
He's singing Strange Animal by Gowan.
Of course he is.
Of course, Gowan, a heavy contributor to the Degrassi series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I like that song, but, like, would I ever sing it to myself?
Would you?
No.
We'll never know if you're lying or not.
Yeah. Emma asks if he changed.
Oh, here's a question, though. Do you have that single?
Yes, of course.
You do. So you could sing. You could put it on your and sing along to it.
I could.
Yes.
Emma asks if he changed her name at school. Spike comes in at this time and says, well, the office must have got it confused. Snake says, well, the secretary knows you're my daughter. And Emma's like, well, I'm not your daughter. And I'm like, why are we doing this again?
Oh, my God. And again, and this isn't going to be the last time.
It's just like,
so,
enough.
I don't have that. I didn't have that that backstory. So I was just like, fuck yeah. Like, what are they fucking doing? Terrible parents. But when you tell me that they've already settled this, now it gives me pause.
Yeah, like they've. So first of all, it doesn't sound like it, the secretary made a very bad decision. Like, they're both basically like, the secretary just went into business for themselves and
yes.
changed your name, which is
absolutely,
which is not
sunny days.
Yeah, like they should be pissed at her too. But Emma flipping out over like who you know Snake in there again, and it's like we've been through this. Stop it, like. Stop lying and saying you're okay with it if you're not. So Emma says she wants to know who her real dad is. And then Spike gets pissed off at her, which it's
again,
like...
Again, kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like, I get, you know, she's going to talk later about, well, I didn't want to tell you when you were so young. But it's like, maybe this is the time to sit her down and have a conversation.
It just doesn't follow canon either. Like, we just learned during White Wedding that they have this relationship where they never lie, and, you know, so much so that when Spike was pregnant, she, like, found yes. out that she was pregnant, she told Emma first because she didn't want to keep secrets from her. Not
only did she tell Emma that she was pregnant first, she told Emma she was thinking about having an abortion.
Yes.
Jesus!
Because they don't keep secrets from each other, and now all of a sudden it's like, you didn't, like, what? Like, you don't have to tell her that he jumped off a bridge or something, but, like, you can just be like, wasn't there any story that you could think of that was better for this situation?
Yeah, that's some pretty bad, you know, however many years of parenting, I must say.
Yeah.
And I wonder, so Emma obviously thinks that he's a doctor, and I think that's based solely on that one memory she has, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did she ever, like, did Spike just, like, lie to her and be like, yep, he's a doctor?
I feel like Emma was just like, oh, can we talk about my dad? And then she's like, we're not talking about that.
Shut up, child.
Like that. Just like no information. Like, I don't know what she told her.
Apparently nothing.
And her anger doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, you know, when you realize the state that Shane is in, I'm not sure why there's all of this anger and bitterness.
Well, yeah. Even the relationship between Spike and Shane, right? Like, there is really no relationship. So, and they didn't really end on a sour note. So, like, why is she so crazy about it?
I don't know.
Well, and when's the right time to tell your kid? Like, you're waiting for them to get older. When's the right time? The right time is when they are asking questions and saying, I want to meet my dad, and they're 14 years old. That's the time that you tell them.
You are correct, yes. Person without child. I agree with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me tell you, parents.
I want to know if he's still using his allowance to pay child support.
Hey, he was a good guy for a while. Until he needed those gourmet scum tickets, so.
And you know, when Degrassi, whenever you do something kind of bad, it always ends in the worst possible way.
God damn it, eh?
So Joey is hosting the shower. Caitlin is there with a camera. So Caitlin tells people that she has moved back to Toronto. She, of course, had been in L.A. and was famous, I guess. But has now moved back to Toronto. So cool. Spike is talking about having a home birth. And we have Heather, Erica, and Liz all there. None of whom were at the wedding. So that's cool. Lucy, who was
nice
at
to
the
see all the old faces.
Lucy, who was at the wedding and was in Caitlin's wedding party, nowhere to be found. So Spike starts opening gifts, and Caitlin starts to clean up a spill. She introduced. Oh,
well,
and
she ran her ass into something, and
she got cake on her ass.
Yeah.
I feel like they're trying to repaint her as being clumsy. You know?
Yeah. Well, we start the storyline here where, she's talking to this woman who introduces herself as Sydney, and Caitlin says she's an old friend of Spike's and she knows Joey, and she's hinting that there could be like a rekindling of an old romance. And then, of course, it's all thrown back in her face because Joey comes over and kisses Sydney and is like, this is my girlfriend. And this starts a storyline that goes through a good portion of the season where, like, Caitlin's all dopey and sad because she likes Joey, but he's with someone else. Like that old trope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
I did laugh. I'm like, who divulges that much information to essentially a stranger about her history with Joey?
Well, I thought they knew each other at first.
No.
And I just missed something. I'm all,
yeah.
Who is this person? And then it was established they didn't know each other. And I just thought, oh, this must be leading to something.
She's like, oh, I know Joey. Like, we went out, then he went with Liz and ignored me. Then we went out again. Then I dumped him for this goth guy who killed himself. Then we went out again.
Yes.
Then he fucked another girl all summer. Then he fucked me and he pretended he was a virgin. Then we broke up at the lake on the same day that his best friend fucking killed a kid. So yeah, we have history.
Yes. Great.
Just a little.
Yeah, just a little bit. So then Caitlin asks Emma how she's doing. And Emma is being all sarcastic and being like, I'm having a great time. Like, just go then. You don't have to be there.
Well, also, siding again with Emma, baby showers are the fucking worst.
Your best friend, Emma. Reading the same books, baby showers.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, sorry. I guess we have a lot in common. But for real, nobody likes going to baby showers. They suck.
Emma asks about Shane McKay, but Caitlin says, that's a question for your mom, which clearly it isn't.
What was funny about that was that she tried to be cool aunt and like immediately has to be so square and be like, no, I can't tell you.
So the last time that Caitlin played cool aunt, she essentially convinced Emma to go meet a stranger from the internet at a hotel. So
that was in the first episode of the series.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. So not the best track record. That. So then that night we see Emma is restless in bed and she gets up, she sneaks to the computer to do a search for Shane, which for some reason, like she had to type in exactly the words Dr. Shane McKay for someone to come up. And I'm like, that would come up if you just said Shane McKay. Like,
yeah, but it was Dogpile. It wasn't the best search engine. that search engine is still around.
Dogpile?
Dogpile. Huh. Yeah. Back in the day where there was like 50 different search engines that, you know, people would actually use.
And by the way, we find, you know, how difficult this is for her now to find a Shane McKay. And of course, we're going to see that it's not the right one. And then later, it's just going to be so easy.
So annoying.
So back at school, Spinner tells Marco that he found out how to get Paige a locker, and then he basically talks about how the game Monopoly works. Yeah, leaves out the part how you leave your friends and family members crying if you play it properly.
So is this kid like just the biggest idiot on the show? Because that's what he seems like to me.
Spinner, yeah.
Yeah, God, so annoying.
Emma tells Sean that she found Shane's address and is like, come on. And he's like, well, no, I have to go to grade 10 shop. And she's like, finding my birth dad is a little more important. And he's like, well, why skip? We can go on the weekend. And she's all annoyed with him. And like, Sean does not do well at school. He doesn't do, you know, he's had issues with like boundaries and like behavior. Why would Emma be like,
he's trying to be able to like stay with his brother.
Yeah. And Emma's just like, skip school. Fuck it.
Skip
like,
school.
Yeah. It's the worst.
I mean, not just that, but just like, oh, fine. You don't want to skip school with me. Fine. Like, fuck off.
Yeah. So then we have Spinner making the rounds. He goes to JT and asks about his locker. JT gives a line that no one would say about their locker. A for quality, F for location. Yeah, he wants to make a trade with him so that he can get a locker where there are women around. Because I guess if you have women around your locker, you'll fuck all school year. that's what it takes. I don't know. Spinner
that
tries.
Didn't work for you?
No, I guess not. Just I had to rely on my charm and good looks.
Oh my God.
Spinner tries to trade with Chris, who isn't having it initially, but then Spinner notices that he likes DJ Mad Bullets.
Best.
And Spinner, who has no money, he in the last season talked about how when his CD player broke, he had to use a cassette player. Now all of a sudden has a rare bootleg copy of DJ Mad Bullets concert, so...
You know? Yeah, nice plot device right there.
Yeah.
Chris says my favorite line of the episode, which is, that's tough still.
Yes.
Spinner goes to Hazel and says he has a locker for her in, I think he said in the lanes. So I guess that's the area of Degrassi. He calls it Degrassi's coolest neighborhood, which, come on.
The lanes.
So anyways, he eventually begs her and she makes the trade. So he has the locker that he wants, I guess. So
mission accomplished. Yeah. We can fucking end the storyline, right?
Nope.
So boring.
So Emma goes to talk to Craig for some reason about finding her father, Craig, who in the last episode was dealing with his father who died.
Oh my God.
Craig asks why, and she says, well, I thought you'd understand because of your dad. And I was like, how is that the same?
Not even the same.
Like,
nothing.
I'm trying to find my dad. Yours died. Samesies.
Want to help me?
Beat right. You to a pulp and then died, and you had a nervous breakdown about it.
Yeah. So.
But I thought Craig's reaction was interesting because before she pulled the dad thing, he seemed really reluctant. He's like, why me? Like, why didn't you ask? And then he names a bunch of people. And then she says the dad thing, and he's like, okay, let's go.
So they leave. Also, why does she need anybody to go with her, by the way? But anyways, they go to a house.
Hello, feminism, Emma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She learned her lesson from the first episode.
Yes, that's right. Last time I went to meet someone, a stranger, where I had problems. So.
It didn't go so well.
It's like, I'll only come if we stop by Pizza Pizza on the way.
That's what the, yeah. No, as long as the stranger opens the door with Pizza Pizza.
Yeah.
So they get to this house. Emma goes to meet the guy. But of course, when he answers, it's a black man. And she's like, that can't be my dad. So, great.
I mean, I guess. That's kind of a weird one because it kind of could, I guess, really. Well, didn't she see the picture?
Yeah, she did see the picture.
She see the picture of him, so yes.
Yeah, she's like, you're not John Vision.
So yes, it can't be her dad. I thought, my the big racism alarm went off. Sorry.
Yeah, no, same. I think it's still valid, even if she saw the picture. Like, I got the impression they were trying to make it as opposite as they could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it could have just
been... Which is always strange, right? Like, why couldn't it just be a really old man?
That's, yes. Or a woman. Also, that would have solved a problem. Woman
named Shane, yeah.
Yeah.
He also pronounced the name Mache.
Oh, yeah?
Instead of McKay. Yeah. He was like, I'm Shane Mache, Dr. Shane Mache.
Oh, wow, they're that. really going for the differences there.
So now they're back at Emma's place, Craig and Emma, and trying to find other ways to find Shane. And Emma, who was at the computer yesterday and just couldn't fucking find him, is now like, well, he's the chairman, Shane, or Snake is the chairman of the alumni committee, and he has a huge address list. So they search for it, and the first thing they find, Shane Mache.
Of course that asshole is chair of the alumni committee. All desperately clinging to high school with every last fucking breath in his body.
They find Shane, and he is in Stouffville. So, yeah, we go back to Degrassi. Spinner has his hands all over Paige's... Oh, his hands over her eyes. And they're walking to the locker. I'm like, what? What did he have them all over?
All over.
Yeah. He brings her to the locker and he shows it to her and he says, happy anniversary. And she is not into it. And this has to continue.
Fuck. Yeah, she's expecting something to be in the locker when he opens it. And even when he explains, like, you didn't like your locker. I worked really hard to get you a new one. And she's like, yuck.
I've asked this.
Is that a good present? Like, I feel like it's not.
I've asked this from the very start. Why are these two together?
Again, there's no explanation.
Like, he's an idiot, and she's a bitch, and. Like, they wouldn't put up, each one of them wouldn't put up with the other, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an opposites attract thing. I don't know. Like, I don't, like, hopefully this develops further and makes more sense. But for now, it just seems really arbitrary.
So in the meantime, not only does Drake have a great locker, but he's got this automatic lock. Which,
fuck's sake.
What?
Hey, in 2021, I'm sure those are dime a dozen, but back in 2003, an automatic lock is fucking technology.
Press a button and it unlocks.
Yeah.
God.
I didn't even know that existed. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and Spinner says, I didn't know you had a locker here. And Drake says, it's not a locker, it's the locker. And Paige calls it prime real estate. Drake says, keep dreaming. And Paige now, who was just like, I don't give a shit that you got me a locker, wants that locker.
And
because it has nicer paint, like, I don't understand who
I know
gives a fuck.
It has extra shelves. Go buy some shelves and put them in. Like, I was very confused. Like, this is such a weak B plot. It's ridiculous. I could understand wanting the wireless lock.
Yeah, that would be rad.
Paint your locker then.
So then we get some Sam Roberts music.
Yes.
Yes.
That really livened up the episode.
Listeners that do not recognize the song, it is Hard Road by Sam Roberts Band, if you would like to put it onto your playlist.
That's a good album.
It's a great album.
Just saying.
Is he still around?
I think he is.
Sammy Roberts?
Yeah, they still tour, I think. Yep. They played the Folk Fest here like 2 years ago.
So they're playing this song as Emma and Craig go on to onto their great adventure. We see them going into Union Station in downtown Toronto and hopping on the GO train. And I love this. They're taking pictures and goofing around like they're on some epic journey. Meanwhile, it's a fucking commuter train.
Well, and you can take the GO train from Union Station to Stouffville. It takes a little bit under 2 hours and it costs about $11.
Yeah.
So there.
All right.
So
is that in 2021 dollars?
It is not. That is
that's in 2002 dollars or 2003 dollars.
Right. It was probably a little bit less then.
It's probably a lot less then. They really jacked
and
up those rates.
And also, they were students, so it probably was a little bit less. That's an adult fare. Yeah. So
when they get to Stouffville, I guess they just go from the train station to the facility. Like, we don't know
how big is Stouffville. I haven't done my research.
I mean,
is it a place?
It's so the facility, like, it's a mental hospital, right? So, and you can see, we see an outside shot of it. So there's like the hospital, but it's surrounded by nothing, right? Like there's a field. So you would imagine that unless the facility is right next to the train station, it's probably a little bit of a journey.
A bit of a walk.
Maybe there was a friendly man in a station wagon that offered to pick them up.
Yeah.
The population is just over 45,000 people.
Yeah, it's like the size of Brandon, Manitoba.
Yeah.
It's a big town.
That's not a short walk
from
one side of the town to the other. My question was, do they know that this is a mental hospital when they're going up to it? Because why would his work address be in his alumni thing? And I have a lot of questions about her sleuthing skills.
There's a lot of holes in this.
This address does not exist in Stouffville. If anybody's wondering,
too bad.
You cannot go.
Bunch of Degrassi.
Cannot go for
there
for
is no Shaw Avenue in Stouffville, Ontario.
A bunch of Degrassi fans like going to the mental hospital. Like, hey, but yes, like it feels like there are plenty of opportunities. Like, you know, if you did catch a cab, I'm going to go to this place. The cab driver would be like, "Oh, the mental hospital." or
when they walk up to the gates.
Yeah. It's like when it says mental hospital or when they walk inside and like it looks like not a like it doesn't look like a fucking condo.
No, and how they missed it on the wall with the names, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like that should have given you pause right away. At least a 5-minute sit down and think about it and discuss it, because I don't know.
So Craig looks at the signage and sees that Shane McKay is in room 209. When they go in, by the way, we see like nurses running around, like there's an emergency. Emma goes up the stairs and
somebody's like, "Code, we have a code red." And then they just leave the children standing in the hall. This is a stellar facility.
Well, a doctor sees her walking down the hall and does nothing.
Yeah.
Like right at the end of the hall.
What's up, kids?
On the second floor. Yeah, go ahead.
So Emma goes up to the second floor, and she finds Shane's room, and she kind of looks through. The door is cracked open. And there's Jono arranging a plate of food over and over and over again. And
according to, like, the window or something, he keeps looking at something else and then goes back and shifts his plate around.
And she sees this. So the room says, you know, Shane McKay. It's his room. Like,
not Dr. Shane McKay.
Yeah. No. You look inside and you see what the person inside is doing. You recognize him because you saw his photo. And still, it's not hit her yet, right? So she goes right into the room, or she knocks on the door, and she says, "I'm looking for Shane McKay." And Shane McKay says, "What can I do for you?" But he says it in a way that I will not mimic.
No, because you shouldn't.
Yes.
Jesus
Unless
Christ.
Unless you're a professional actor.
Well,
apparently.
My first thought was, like, they could have hired somebody who had, like, a similar disability to do this. There are actors who will do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. But no, it's Jono pretending. Nope.
Get J-Rock out there to you know, just fucking killed it with the overacting. I'll give him that.
If he wasn't as recognizable as an actor for Canadian kids,
yeah,
I don't know if it would feel as problematic. Like if it was just somebody that you didn't recognize at all.
It's much more jarring when it's somebody.
Yeah, but like as it is, like you've all seen him in 100 other things, right? So you know that he's not disabled in this way, so it makes it a little bit more difficult to buy. I think
I wish that he'd been like, "I am Shane McKay. No, I'm saying, no, I'm saying, no, I'm saying, no, I'm
you boy."
Yeah.
I think in more recent years that issue about actually having proper representation in movies and TV has been a bigger issue. Back then I don't think that it really was.
No, people were just like, "Oh, cool, Jono's playing Shane. We'll see what happens."
Yeah,
I don't think it was either.
I mean, I think, and maybe I'm alone in this, but I thought he actually did a really good job.
He did. Jane. I thought so too. I thought he was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, if they could have recast and actually put someone with, you know, an intellectual disability or whatever, that would have been better, obviously.
So Emma is, of course, like, huh? And we get the to be continued. That's where we leave off episode one, a father figure.
Right.
As usual, my favorite portion of the show. Let's see what the Degrassi wiki has to say.
Uh-oh. What's a wiki? Oh, a Wiki.
A Wiki. The Degrassi Wiki, yes.
Fine.
Let's see here. One person said, whenever Shane said, my daughter doesn't love me, she never comes to visit me, that made me sad for some reason. It's like, it made you sad because it's sad. Yes.
That's the next episode, though.
Yes, it is.
Spoiler!
Shane's storyline is possibly the most tragic in all of Degrassi history.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, definitely in the top three, right?
Someone did point out here that it kind of bothered them that Emma's memory of their visit to Shane was when he was three. It's like, and he was a doctor. Or when she was three. You'd be like, wouldn't that make Shane like a minimum of 25 years old when he knocked up 14-year-old Spike? So, and like, that would be weird if people didn't follow the original Degrassi, right? Like, yes. There's probably some people that don't know the story, and then they see him and they're like, wait a second, he was a doctor? How old is this guy? So,
yep.
And again, like, it just begs the question, like, it wouldn't have been that hard to have adjusted the storyline a little bit to make the timelines work. You didn't have to think he was a doctor. You could have thought something else that would have made more sense. So
it, I just like to believe that Emma's just not that smart.
I'm with you there.
Like, is she portrayed as being smart otherwise?
No.
No.
Oh, Emma?
That's good.
Yeah.
Emma, yes. Sorry.
Yeah, she Emma's, has like stellar grades and...
Well, you wouldn't know it. Though I've known some people with stellar grades who are fucking stupid people.
Yep.
That's what it, like, in the sense that kind of, like, you know, is like how Caitlin was, right? Like, Caitlin had, I think, really good marks, but she often lacked a lot of, like, common sense.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, constantly saying that Joey was people smart when he wasn't people smart.
Exactly.
Just saying.
Yeah, he's kind of the opposite of people smart. That
I
guy.
Mean, maybe comparatively to Caitlin.
All right. So before we get into the next episode, thoughts? What'd y'all think?
I liked it. I mean, we've kind of been chatting. I don't know if we chatted on the podcast about it, but we've all been kind of looking forward to season three where things pick up. And I don't think it really disappointed. Like, it definitely ramped up a notch. I do remember when these episodes aired originally, I wasn't following the series very closely, but I did make it a point to watch part one and part two. I think, honestly, mostly because I heard Jonna was playing Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that was their gimmick, it worked on me. But yeah, I liked it, despite the obvious holes and bullshit that we have already discussed.
Well, as per usual, I think that Emma is just freaking awful in this episode. I just want to smack her in every scene that she's in. I know, Courtney, you have more sympathy for her, but I just don't. And I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't have a ton terrible. More. She was horrible. I think at the pinnacle of awfulness was when she got mad at Sean for not wanting to skip school to go with her to find her dad, and she was like, oh, I guess finding my dad isn't that big of a deal, no worries, whatever. So yeah, like, she's super bitch.
Sean, by the way, who lives with his brother because he doesn't have a good relationship with his own parents, and them is like, this is important. He's like, I'm already, like, things are fucked up for me, like, you should know this already.
I have a social worker.
Yeah,
I need to go to class.
Yeah, I think that my dog is my brother, like. So that's Jamie, you won't know that, but there's a backstory on the podcast for this. So
that's great.
Yeah. His brother's name is Tracker, so we've decided that his brother's actually a dog who he thinks
that's great.
Who he thinks is a human. So
yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's also in a Tom Petty dog tribute band.
Yes, and he looks like Chris Martin from Coldplay. So
yes.
All right.
Yeah. Anyways, what did you think of this?
You know what? It wasn't bad. I was entertained. Obviously, I watched Degrassi's, the originals. These are way more well-made shows. absolutely. So that's nice. I find a lot of the characters completely unlikable, unfortunately. At least the ones in this one, anyway. And I would say, as far as Emma goes, I have a little sympathy. But yeah, she's really dumb. But, you know, I can't imagine at that age. You know, I actually can't imagine what her life has been like. I just based on this episode alone, she's probably been going through a lot too. So I'll give her a little benefit of the doubt.
And I mean, I can't stand her either, but I will say, like, Spike being like, you don't need to know this is kind of problematic.
So. Yeah. Cause it's like, yeah, she does need to know this.
All right. Well, we're going to carry on this conversation in our next episode when we go over part two of Father Figure. So, stay tuned for that. And just a quick programming note. Usually we're out on Tuesdays and Friday/Saturday, but you may have to wait a week for the next one. So calm down. It's coming. It's all good. And until then, on behalf of all of us, I'm going to say peace.
Bye.
I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe just to get to call my dreams. Everyone thinks